Hello, my friend, and welcome to the 471st episode of the Sales Podcast. I'm Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, your host. Today, all the way from Montana, we've got Nick Runyon. We're talking about TMA, not TMI, TMA, Tactile Marketing Automation. Fancy way of saying direct mail, lumpy mail, actual physical stuff you put a stamp on and send to people. I've been a big fan of it for many years. I do it myself. Nick lays it out why it's now a good time to continue doing that. Maybe better than in the last several years because of COVID, because all the craziness. You can't meet in person face to face. So what are you doing to stand out? What are you doing to get the attention of your prospects and your customers? We talk about, this background with this going back 20 years, over 20 years in the late 90s. And how, the pandemic is forcing changes. We get into account-based marketing, lead scoring. It's really how to do direct mail effectively. So you're in for a treat. I am recording this intro on, it's Tuesday, November 3rd, 11:28 a.m. exactly. So when you listen to this, this will go live a few days later. We'll know who the president is, I hope. But, I tell you this because regardless of what's going on, you got to keep going on. It's easy to get distracted. However the election turns out, whatever Bitcoin does, the Federal Reserve, the Dow, taxes, more pandemics, less pandemics, more shutdowns, less shutdowns. You got to figure out how to grow. Okay? So stay the course regardless of what's going on outside. You can control yourself. If you want some help with that, if you want some tips, some encouragement, come join us, theimplementors.com. You can join month to month. You can join for a year and save 50%. It's up to you. But surround yourself with people that are optimistic, that are moving forward, regardless of what the outside world is doing. Okay? You were put on this earth to grow, to be a good steward of what you were given. Look, sometimes you need some help doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we're social creatures, right? Jesus chose 12 to surround himself with, his inner circle. Do the same, okay? Surround yourself with good people that are looking out for you, that want the best for you, at least in business. And that's what we do, theimplementors.com. Come join us, all right? Now, let's bring on our guest. Nick Runyon. CMO, PFL, TMA, not TMI. What was that? There was one more. ABM, all the way from Bozeman, Montana. You're going to explain all these acronyms and more on the Sales Podcast, man. How the heck are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Wes.
So you made me do some research, man. So I know account-based marketing, that's growing, but y'all have invented a couple of things. Tactile marketing automation. Look, I thought like up in Montana, y'all just like skinning buffalo and like driving four bys off of cliffs and like holding my beer, Bob. I mean, are you doing more than that up there?
There's plenty of that. So come out sometime and we'll get in the truck. I love our company history. I mean, really kind of was born out of the early days of e-commerce because you could do anything from anywhere. And we have leveraged that to the max, trying to build a great place to work and a great place to live. So, yeah, we're happy to be in a beautiful part of the country.
So, I mean, you started out years ago in printing. Right. And like your website says, 12,000 plus of the world's best marketers are using you, LinkedIn, Salesforce, Zoom, integrate with Marketo, Oracle. Hey, what about HubSpot and Infusionsoft? Can you integrate with them?
We've got some HubSpot integrations. Yeah. We got to kind of dance around through some middleware, but we can make it work. And that's what we do. We're in the business of solving problems. So we'll figure it out.
No, very nice. So I love the name, right? So TMA, so tactile marketing. What? I lost it. Where'd it go? Automation. So, I mean, direct mail, right? Print, physical, people going to actually touch stuff, not just, I mean, yeah, I can touch my paperweight here, but I can't, I'm not touching the book that's on it. So are you saying there's still a need, there's still a positive ROI for sending physical stuff?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's been one of the things that's most surprising to me. So, I mean, I'll just step back a second. I mean, you alluded to it, but we started as a company called Printing for Less in the early days of e-commerce. We created a category. We were the first ones to figure out how to take any type of digital file and turn it into a commercial printing press ready PDF. And that was pretty magical back in the day. So, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, we did a lot of work with Adobe, Microsoft, a lot of the big publishing, like desktop publishing software companies to help streamline kind of their PDF workflows. And that was fun. I was actually the head of marketing back then and helped to grow the company around digital marketing strategy, straight e-commerce play, and learned a lot. But then I've been in marketing my entire career, and we are at the point today where you say marketing and people are, it's not digital marketing anymore. It's just all marketing is digital. What we found is that when you do put something physical that you can touch and feel in a box that you open and somebody's hands, especially in a post-COVID environment, which has been really crazy to see, you maximize somebody's attention. And so I've come back into PFL recently as the CMO. And the reason I did so is because I was so fascinated by this idea that you can orchestrate the online and the offline. And when a physical piece shows up as part of my customer journey, as my marketing journey, that is no longer siloed, but it's an orchestrated part of this entire process. We see incredible ROI happen. It's attention grabbing. You can help move the sales process forward. You can help build relationships. And we leverage data to do all of that. So that's where the software comes in. PFL today is primarily a marketing technology software company that makes that orchestration of the online and offline happen.
Nice. Yeah, I've always told people you need to have a multimedia, multi-step, sequential follow-up, you know, nurture, follow-up, whatever phrase you want to use, campaign. You know, I talk to prospects all the time and they're like, oh man, I'm really good once I get in front of a qualified prospect. I'm like, well, Jethro, what the hell do you think your job is? You know, it's to get in front of that qualified prospect, right? You know, and then stand out. And because people ask, like, you know, my little red and white book back there, you know, I send that out and I get more kudos sending something physical. People still push back on it, don't they?
Yeah. And I think that people have pushed back on sending something physical as part of that process traditionally because it's been really hard. From a marketing standpoint, the other side of this is that I think we've become really lazy, you know? I mean, I can, you know, put in a dollar into Google and I get cost per click. I get all kinds of metrics back. I know what's working and know what's not. So when I'm working with our sales team to qualify those prospects, I'm leaning heavily on a lot of these signals and these intent signals that we're able to gather. But, you know, really until PFL, until we created tactile marketing automation, that lived in a silo. It was this unassociated channel. When you put that together, not only is the sending the physical easier, but we're starting to see that it's a great way to deliver value. It's tangible. And there's something that happens when people engage with your brand kind of beyond just the digital touch points. There's a look and a feel, there's an association, there's, you know, it's tactile. That's why we call it tactile marketing automation. So you begin to get some brand affinity even, you know, you can create experiences that really pull people in. So Jethro gets even a more qualified prospect. And
I can send him a sales whisper certified logo spittoon. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Well, I don't think we've done a spittoon yet. I'd do one for you, though.
It's time.
I'll go down to the antique shop and we got a new laser. It can engrave anything. I'll put your logo on a spittoon for you.
Oh, hell, it don't matter. I got my Jim Beam bottle from my eighth grade graduation. I'll just spit into that one. Oh, man. You can take the redneck out of the country, right? Okay. So I literally own this trademark. Are you stupid or what? So let's start shipping some stuff. All right. Can you hook a brother up?
Yeah, let's do it. we sent, I'm serious about the laser. This thing is pretty cool. You can laser anything. So I'm always looking for stuff to stick in there and put a logo on it.
Oh, hell no. We were talking about swords and knives and shotguns. I want you to take this knife. And I want you to carve it by hand. I want some love. I want some sweat in that thing, man. So what should be sent though? I mean, can I just send a pen? Can I send a notepad with my logo on it? Does it have to be a $5 coffee mug? Cause I know, you know, my boss is going to say, well, you can't send a $5 coffee mug to 10,000 people. And, right. You know, it's too damn much money. What do you say to them?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is where we're seeing some really sophisticated teams put together journeys that make a whole lot of sense. So we recently launched an e-gifting platform, which it sounds like I'm making a diversion here, but like at the 10,000 prospect level, you don't want to send everybody, you know, something that's a $5, $10, $30 gift or some kind of expensive kit. But there's ways to qualify people. And if you're using a marketing automation platform or you're capturing that data in your CRM, that's where you start to leverage that data to inform the content and the timing or the piece. And it starts to make a whole lot of sense because you might not want to send that coffee mug to that many people. But if you know that you can send the right thing to the right person at the right time, it's the basic foundation. It's four P's of marketing, you know, person, place, price, product. You match that up and you're going to win every time. And so the data that is existing in your systems already has the answer there. We just help you find it and coordinate that.
So, you know, I've used these platforms since at least 2007. Marketing automation, right? Sequences, funnels, whatever fancy word they're using nowadays. So am I turning this data over to you or am I building the workflows like inside of my HubSpot and then it just triggers yours? Boom. Okay. The coffee mug is sent. The contact records updated. Now the sequence just continues running inside of my own CRM.
Yeah. We want to keep your data inside your system. We do that for a number of reasons. I think probably the most important is security. I mean, a lot of, especially with GDPR, there's another acronym for you. But with all like the privacy stuff, we pass some of the most stringent and strict security reviews. So we're HIPAA certified, we're SOC 2 compliant, you know, all of the things. One of the ways that we can do that and build software that maintains that level of security is that we're keeping your data inside your systems. But the advantage of that to you is that it's also referenceable. So now if you see a contact, a prospect that takes a certain action, it's easier for me to build attribution inside your system. So because it's all contained, now I'm not passing stuff back and forth that you know, introduces some data integrity problems. I can build reports inside of your CRM that show that this is having an impact and we're truly moving the needle for you. So we keep it inside your stuff.
Right. Is there certain ranges that you found? Like if somebody, maybe they're too small right now for you and maybe they have like a smaller database, right? Maybe it's a higher end product and they can fulfill at home or, you know, at their own office. I mean, is there, does it depend on like the size of the sale? If I'm selling a $50,000 software solution, do I need to send a more expensive gift or can I still send a $5 coffee mug? And the mere fact that it's physical, it's tangible, it still makes a good impact.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of value. Like I want the content, the information that I'm sending to a prospect. I also want what I'm saying to you right here today to be valuable. And I run everything through that filter. I'm not going to spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on software if I can do the same thing with an admin and a swag closet. I mean, we at the in the early days with our e-commerce business at PFL, we were sending literally coffee mugs. We sent all kinds of gifts and tchotchkes to people, customer appreciation type of sequences and stuff. We did all that manually. Where software comes into play is pulling data from your CRM and from your marketing automation platform. So intent signals. We're looking for the opportunity to stitch all of that together. So say you have like your website analytics, you've got named accounts in your CRM. Maybe somebody has downloaded a white paper and you've built an email list and you're starting to sequence them and you see somebody taking the action that you want them to take, and you can use a piece of direct mail or a dimensional mail touch in order to accelerate that process or to maybe help enable that person to bring a buying decision to the CEO or something, whatever the case may be.
Sure.
And that's some of the fun thing. You can dream up anything about it. At the point where you're unable to maintain that process and to scale it along with your business, that's when the software becomes important.
Well,
We,
for
you
sure. And
mentioned.
I think I just muddled the question. What I was saying was, what, let's say I'm selling a high-end solution and
Okay.
I want to make an impression on my prospects. Do I need to send an expensive gift, or does almost any gift, as long as it's not cheap, I mean, as long as it's somewhat decent, right? That does the mere fact of sending something physical, does that lift me above the competition? Or if I'm spending, if I'm courting 50, $100,000 clients, do I need to send some crystal, candle holders?
Got it. Yeah, no, I don't think people get bribed into taking sales calls. I mean, there's a reciprocity that's here. If you give me something, I feel some obligation to reciprocate, and maybe give you some time. That's going to get you part of the way there. That's not the whole thing. I really think, again, with value, the experience that you create, whatever you send, needs to be appropriately branded. I think it needs to be relevant. It needs to help provide value in some way. We have a tactile marketing idea book that we've put together. People and we've published this year over year, and it's a it's a thin book. It's probably 50, 60 pages, but there's really good content in it. And we've been on customer calls months later, and people have kind of kept this on their desk as a reference piece. Now, that's still just printed content that we publish, but it's valuable. Just so people hang on to it, and then they started collecting them. Like, hey, send me another one, when it comes out in 2020 or whatever. So something like that can be incredibly effective. I think people really need to think about not so much what type of gift do I want to deliver, but what type of experience do I want to create. And so, along that idea of people aren't going to be bribed into taking a sales meeting, that moment in time when they're engaging with your direct mail piece, you have their 100% maximized attention. You need to deliver the right message and provide a relevant call to action and make sure the gift, the printed collateral, the whole thing helps to move people towards where you want them to go.
Yeah, I've had this for years, my Infusionsoft cheat sheet. So I gave it away, as a lead magnet. It was a one pager, then it became two. I've had people order this and tell me the print is too small.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, it's a cheat sheet. Cheat sheets are supposed to be small, right? I mean, but a laminated cheat sheet, I'll sell it for a couple bucks. The PDF is free, but if they want it laminated, and people, I've had this for years, and people, and because it's so in, I think it's a buck or so, I don't even know, it didn't cost me much. I mean, I can afford to send this out, you know, and I'll send it as a bonus, like a new customer. I'll mail them my book and this. Oh, and I'll send several, you know, and they. So I guess it's the relevant side. I mean, it doesn't have to be on, you know, Egyptian parchment from King Tut, right? It's just.
I think it's a perfect example. I mean, that's a highly valuable piece of marketing collateral there. And yeah. I think every brand, every team has an opportunity to build something like that and deliver it to the right person at the right time.
Yeah. And how do you know where, because I'm big on content. I still have CDs I'll mail people. Now, granted, it's because I bought a crap ton of them, I mean, 8-9 years ago and still haven't given them all away. So, but you know, my book, you know, 200 and I don't know, 30, 40 pages, cost less than $5 to print that thing, mm-hmm. you know? So how do I know, like, when do I send a book versus a coffee mug? Because the book, yeah, people usually don't throw a book away, but they also usually don't read it. It will sit on their shelf. I mean, there is a little bit of occupying their brain, but well, and there's no guarantee they're going to keep my coffee mug. They might throw it in the company kitchen and never see it either. So how, are there some rules of thumb there that you've seen that, you know, a pocket guide, a wall. Like I was in high tech for many years and you'd see all these schematics that, you know, Oracle or whatever Cisco would build or, and so like, I remember Sonnet and ATM and all these, you know, telecom protocols. And so those were cool if you're in that space, but how do you know if you're giving them the right stuff?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And we published an article on our blog called What to Send When, because we got that question so much. I mean, so I think you're right on track. I always encourage people to think about like a value ladder, you know, so there's an appropriate exchange. If I'm out offering a piece of collateral on my website, a white paper, a PDF or download, I'm asking for something in exchange. I might be asking for an email. If I want your address, your email, your phone number, the name of your first child, you know, all this stuff, like the value that I'm presenting has to be much higher. And so if I'm asking for, it's like dating. I mean, and I know people have worn out this analogy, but if in a sales process, if it's the first phone call, I need to immediately communicate to you that it's going to be worth some small amount of your time, 15, 30 minutes, whatever I'm asking for. And you need to believe that it's going to be worth your time. If I can put something together and send it to you that helps to communicate that idea, then that's where we really start to see things pop for our customers. So at the awareness stage, you know, sometimes at the awareness stage, it's not reasonable or worth the cost, you know, to send maybe a book or a coffee mug or something. Maybe you can get by with a postcard, you know, and we've got a great mailer. It's a popcorn mailer that's like this, it's paper that's folded, but then on the inside, it's got a bag of microwave popcorn. It's a self mailer. So you save on mailing costs. It mails at the price of, you know, like a large postcard. But it's really clever, grabs people's attention. You got it fully branded, your marketing message is there. And we see that at the awareness stage help to move a lot of people forward in the sales process. Now, fast forward to say you're selling, you know, an expensive software like your example before, and onboarding is something that's really critical as part of your customer journey. At that point, I might put together something that's nicer. I've got branded drinkware. You know, you've got some customer appreciation stuff. You've got maybe you include a book. But then there's also material in there that helps people accelerate, like helps them be successful with the product that they just purchased. It makes a lot more sense to spend more money at that point to provide a better experience. You're helping build in retention metrics into your business. So really what we do as part of even the buying process at PFL is as marketers and sales teams are coming to us, we're asking them, what are the problems that you're trying to solve? What are the business objectives that you want to move forward? And then let's strategize together. Really kind of there's an agency component where we say, let's build something that's price effective. You get massive ROI for what you're going to spend on it, and it's helping to accomplish your business objectives. So It really, it depends on what stage of the funnel that you're trying to drive, but thinking critically about each of those steps, I think is really key. There's no magic bullet. There's no a coffee mug at this stage is going to close the deal.
Right.
I think it's less about the gift. It's more about that experience and where you're trying to move as part of your business.
Would you consider this direct response marketing, or is it just direct mail marketing?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, you kind of—I'm going to mirror what you said before about, marketing automation, funnels, whatever people are calling it these days. I think the definitions kind of change with what's in vogue a little bit. It's definitely direct mail marketing, but I think the ability to solicit direct response because I think that also applies. I mean, we're building in variable data pieces now. So imagine, the URL or the QR code or whatever type of response mechanism that I'm building into this campaign, the one that you get is unique to you. So I've got the ability to attribute action to an individual direct mail piece and create a one-to-one experience, but then scale that across my entire sales organization. So that's where we get the ability to measure direct response and ROI on the back of these. And I mean, our target to start out with is 20x ROI. That's an average that we see across our customer base. And so that also conveniently makes it kind of a no-brainer buying decision for our customers. If you're going to give me a dollar and I give you 20 back, people are going to do that all day long. And that's
Right.
building that direct response and the ROI in there has been
Well,
a key to our success.
I get the problem though, I mean, getting started, I don't know that's going to be right. You can't guarantee that. Right. So I mean,
Yeah.
I got to start somewhere. But I mean, is there a way to dip their toe in the water, or do they come in, or people realize that, I got to do something different, and my Instagram channel just isn't moving the needle
Right.
because I don't look good in a bikini, so I need to do something else.
We've talked a little bit about, well, we've talked a lot about the orchestration of like the digital and the physical. One thing I haven't mentioned yet is when PFL software is integrated with your CRM or your marketing automation platform, whatever path we go down, we have delivery notifications. And so it's truly a multi-channel experience because within 15 minutes of delivery, I can ping a sales rep and they make a timely phone call at the moment that that person is engaging with your piece. And so you're right. I don't guarantee it. I don't ever use that word like we guarantee. But across the thousands of customers that we're working with, we do know some things. We've published a lot of this in the multi-channel marketing report that we released recently. But I know that if you have a thoughtful email sequence that's adding value, it makes sense. And I think you've seen enough of these to know like which ones work and which ones don't. But if you've got that and then you're triggering direct mail at some point in that sequence and then you're calling to follow up, you are going to move the needle. And it's just a matter of how well can we orchestrate those things with your team. And so what I tell marketing and sales teams that are working with us is it's two sides of the same coin here. When your sales team engages in a timely way, you're going to hear this all the time. People are going to say, "Oh, it's amazing that you called. I just happened to be looking at your thing that just got delivered." Well, it's not, that's not an accident. We orchestrated that whole experience. And that is where some of these incredible ROIs come in when you do that well and you put it all together.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's I've used all these tools, right? And I've got little notifications, and I can see, somebody's returned, and they're on the pricing page, or they're on the us versus them page, and I'll shoot them an email, give them a call. man, I'm on your page right now. And yeah, it's funny how many people still don't realize that technology is out there. I think more and more that they are realizing that we're always being watched. But yeah, sending something. People always are like, oh, can you write for me? Can you, you know, create these campaigns? And I'm like, look, I'm happy to write for you. It's a whole lot of money. But here's the deal. I'm not writing War and Peace. I'm sending short emails. I mean, it's the timing. It's the frequency, you know, pique their curiosity, link them back to your website somewhere, refer them back to page 12 of the report that they never got past page 2. You know, I'm just doing a lot of that. And they're like, oh, really? You know, and everybody wants to make it harder than it needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, we all fall victim to that for sure. Do you find that, people are appreciative? I mean, is it still creepy in 2020 if you're tracking my online movements and then giving me the value that if you're just making it easier for me to find what I'm looking for in the first place? I mean, do people?
Hey, I'm asking the questions here. I got to edit this out now, man. Yeah, I mean, some people do still think it's freaky. I'm helping a friend of mine that has some software that. For like Fortune 1000 companies and he knows the founder. So he's able to license this technology at the sub Fortune 1000 companies. And I'm talking to a couple of companies about it, people that I know. And they're like, oh man, that's like Big Brother. Oh, that's, you know, you're spying on whatever. I'm like, it's all 100% legal. It's all behind the scenes, you know? But I mean, this is a guy running a major corporation, right? And he's, oh, that's spying or weird. I just got that response from him last week and I was surprised. You know, I'm like, dude, Apple's already changing things in their iOS, you know, Google's changing things next year. You know, we've been able to spy on and follow everybody everywhere. It's all going away, but you know, it's not really going away. People are just going to find a way there because there's already a way. It's existing. It's legal. It's just like deeper technology. I don't even know why it does exist. If Google's making all these changes, I don't know how their software can still exist, but it does. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. I mean, as long as it's legal, right? I'll help you sell it. You know, I may not be able to describe all the intricacies of it, but hell, I'll help you sell it.
One of the things we found really is along this line. Whenever everybody went work from home, you know, in March. And we had to figure out very quickly.
They're trying to copy me, man. I've been working from home for 20 years. I'm just saying, I'm a leader, but you already knew that. Please go ahead.
We had to figure out a lot of my, you know, like Zoom info data and things that import into our CRM are corporate addresses, you know, so I know what office you work at. But if you're not at the office anymore, we had to figure out what to do. We created a preferred address capture product that we started. I mean, we used it ourselves because we had to figure out, you know, now what? And we had a long conversation one afternoon about like, are people going to like this or not? You know, are they going to want us to send them stuff at home?
Yeah.
I pulled the numbers the other day. It's less than 2% of all of our sends have been met with some kind of negative reaction. I was actually really surprised by how welcoming people were of receiving something at their home, you know, because I think mindsets have shifted. And it's like, if you can help me be more effective in my current location, then they're welcoming that.
Are they opting in for that? Because I had this question come up from one of my clients, because I'm like, I've always been a big proponent of direct mail, right? And he's like, what do I do? Everybody's working from home. How do I send this piece? And I mean, dude, I was stumped. I was like, that's a damn good question. I don't know if they're forwarding mail. You know, yeah. Most people, I mean, like I haven't worked in an office in 20 years, but most people, even those that have been sent home, they're in the same, if they've been sent home, then they're in the same city. Right. But for the last 7 months, have companies like once a week been boxing their stuff and sending it to their people? Or are they swinging by the office once a week to get their mail?
Well, most of them are in the same city. We see a line of brand new Airstreams that are rolling through Bozeman, Montana, because I think that a lot of people are working from home, quote unquote, from the RV park, which more power to them. But
hey, don't be diming them out, man.
What we found was with first name, last name, and a city, to your point, with a high degree of accuracy, I can find somebody's home address. And it's kind of the same, thing you were saying about people realizing that, you know, bots and cookies and pixels are tracking them around the internet. There's a lot of publicly available data about address information out there. And so we've used some of that on the consumer side, like in our own prospecting. We proactively send. We also are asking people to opt in. And on the opt-in side, I'll tell you this, if they opt in, if they confirm their address and engage with us by email prior to our first sales call, we have a 22% chance of qualifying that lead and moving them into our sales process, as compared to about 1% when it's email only and 10% when it's email and direct mail without the confirmation. So I think that people should think about the opt-in opportunity as a way to even accelerate their sales process. What we're finding, I mean, it's an order of magnitude shift. So just adding direct mail shifts it from 1 to 10%. Likelihood to SQL. And then whenever they confirm and engage, they opt in, we move up to 22%. So that's really strong data around that. So in some ways, this adverse condition has opened up new opportunities that we're happy to be taking advantage of.
Well, it always does, doesn't it? I mean, life is all what you make of it. I mean, it's, what are the reactions? I mean, it's snowing, right? Oh no, I don't know how to drive a stick shift in the snow. Yay, we get to go skiing. I mean, it's all what you make of it. Right. So like who's ideal for you, right? We're gonna link to PFL.com. Like what size company? I mean, can you help small folks get started, or do they need to have like a minimum list size, or you know, who should we send your way?
Yeah, we're building software products for the enterprise first. So I will say that.
Like the Star Trek Enterprise? You're all right. I like you, man.
Salesforce is a huge customer of ours. I mean, we deal with, a lot of the Fortune 1000. However, we find that there's software companies, there's SaaS companies, we're primarily looking at companies that are over 1,000 employees, but you've got some of these niche industries where you've got small employee counts, but people are really trying to figure out, how do I scale up direct mail as an integrated part of my marketing strategy? I mean, if that's the problem that you're trying to solve, I'll throw company size and all those other demographics, firmographics out the window, because we might be able to find a solution for you that's going to help move your business forward. The other piece about that I'll say is that you mentioned LinkedIn at the top of the episode. They came in through our pro team. So our pro team helps to build a lot of these programs as kind of a proof of concept without the software integration as a way to get started. They've been very effective at showing how a timely direct mail send can help move business objectives forward. And then we talk about the software piece to scale that productivity once the concept has been proven within your organization. So we're happy to work that from both sides, depending on where people exist on that spectrum.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, you got a ton of resources. I've been kind of skimming around the site. I mean, around the very bottom of your blog, right? 5 reasons to send direct mail to remote workers. Enhance virtual experiences with the physical reality of your brand. That's a good one. How to run a direct mail campaign with preferred shipping addresses. Because if somebody opts in, dude, I mean, I've always worked from home. I mean, when you look up the Sales Whisperer in Murrieta, California, that's my home address, right? But I know I'm an oddball. I don't mind. But some people, they want to use a PO box or whatever. But still, if they opt in because of this new world and they're missing stuff, hey, okay, if you give me your address, I'm going to send you something. That's fair.
I think it's a great way to have a touch point that somebody can truly touch and to move the conversation forward. That's what we found.
Very cool. All right. Well, we will link to it, pfl.com. You've got your first snow. We're finally under 100 degrees. So, It's all good. I'm in a good mood now, man. You caught me on a good day. So
good.
Well done. Well done.
I think we could probably work up some kind of exchange. You know, you get tired of the warm, you can come up and ski. We get tired of the cold, I'll come down and sit on the beach.
Yeah, man. Our winters are nice. I'm a little bit inland, so it's we have more than a few 100-degree days, but at least it cools off at night.
Marietta, I suppose that's true, isn't it? Well, either way, my
it's
wife.
All good, man.
She's Southern California by birth, so she's always about February. We get kind of itchy.
Oh yeah, my wife's from here. That's why we're here. But just need to have enough money, have property in both, and just travel at will. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I need to listen to more of your podcast. Maybe I can figure out how to make that happen for
all
me.
All right, you do that. You do that. All right, man. Nick Runyon, all the way from Montana. Thanks for coming to the show, man. It's been great.
Thanks, Wes.
One day before too long, I think I might be getting into some trouble in Montana. Do a little business, maybe a little hunting, maybe a little bourbon sipping. We shall see. But, you know, I hope you got a lot out of that. I love his line, you know, prospects don't get bribed in taking sales calls. But you can send things that'll get their attention, help you stand out. You don't have to send super expensive things. It's literally the thought that counts, right? Did you send something physical, tangible? Tangible marketing is so crazy. They keep making new names. But, you know, that's important, too. When you come up with something, name it. Own it. And that's what they've done up there. If you need some help with this, let me know. You know, I always talk about the implementors, but, you know, I do private consulting. Obviously, I can't take as many clients on in that role because it's one-on-one. But if you need some help in that, I've put together direct mail campaigns. I can help with the copywriting, help you come up with the messaging, segment the list, put in the automation sequences, tie it into a multimedia, multi-step sequence. Okay. I've done this with Infusionsoft clients for years, HubSpot clients. I do a 2-day accelerator. You can come to me, I can come to you, and we knock this out. So if that could be of value, that could be of assistance, just go to thesaleswhisper.com, go to the About Us and or the Contact Us, and we'll set a time to talk. Okay. See if it's a good fit. Thanks for listening. I'll go sell something.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.